This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I'm still, I still have indigestion from overeating over the Thanksgiving holiday. I hope you guys all had a good one. I did. My daughter had a baby between brunch and dinner, right in smack in the middle. So we went over to the little birthing place, and she was only there 39 minutes, pushed out a little baby girl, Melody Grace, perfect 7 pounds, 2 ounces, 21 inches, gorgeous little creature. And then we all went home and had dinner. It was pretty damn cool. George Kennedy joining us right now. He is the co-founder of Cartender. He's a freelance automotive journalist. He works for the some of the big guys like Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and Car Gurus. And George, the search is on, brother. The search is on.
For hey, man. You know, happy belated Thanksgiving. Congrats on being once again a grandfather. That's awesome.
Well, so then my wife, you know, my wife drives this little Fiat 500 Abarth, which is just a cute little car. It's the Scorpion.
Oh, that's the perfect family vehicle.
Well, yeah, right. It's the Scorpion edition. Of course, we were empty nesters for a little bit there. So, you know, she wanted something to zip around town in, and she said it was her little zippy car. But Scorpion edition Abarth, which means that it's got the bigger engine, turbocharged, and, it, you know, it's fun to drive. Leather, it's white with red leather. It's got a scorpion on the roof, a giant decal of a scorpion because of the Abarth. And it's only got 19,000 miles on a 2015. We have not had a single problem. I'm lying. We had one headlight go out. But that's it. It's a 2015 in, let's see, we got it. It's been 3 years ago used with 1,400 miles on it. She's basically put 18,000 miles on it. Not a single problem. You know the old fix it again, Tony, for Fiat? Not true on the ones. We've owned two of those things. But now she says to me, you know what? It's time that I get an SUV again, because with a brand new baby, now our other grandkids, two little boys, one for my son over here and one for my daughter over there, and now my daughter just had this other one. So she, grandma is now, grandma, I love that, Mammo, as the kids call her, Mammo, needs a new SUV. And so she really wants a Telluride, and we've been searching and searching and searching. Kia is selling everyone. They say the average time on a car lot for the Kia Telluride is 6 days from delivery to selling it and delivering it to a new owner. 6 days.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That is incredible. But it's also not surprising either. I mean, it's an attractive design.
Yep.
Both inside and out. It's got plenty of cargo space, plenty of headroom. They drive great. You know, there's a lot of, I know I'm making it harder for you, you know, for the shopping experience, right?
Right, I know. Well, here's the problem. I've been looking and looking and looking. I'm like, well, do we really need to spend $40,000? Because the one she wants, of course, is going to be actually maybe even closer to 50, especially because now she saw what's called the Telluride Nightfall Edition. And it's got this darked out vibe, black wheels, black chrome, not black plastic, black chrome, as they say. I don't know if it's actually chrome or not, but it looks like it. Anyway, but it's just a cool looking vehicle. And she saw one in a kind of this camo green with the darked out windows and dark wheels. And she goes, that's what I want right there. That's what I want. And she was, so it was at the Kia dealer. And it was the only one on the lot. And they're like, oh, no, that's sold. It just came in. It was special
spoken
order.
For, yeah.
Yeah. She goes, I guess, but that's, you know, I guess I have to order one now. I'm like, oh, no. Right?
Well, look, those, you see those special editions a lot of places in the industry right now. I think that's the automakers are getting better about responding to sort of aftermarket demands.
Yeah.
You know, Land Rover was great about this in the 2000s, seeing that, you know, their buyers, their shoppers were putting bigger wheels on and putting sort of blacked out trim on. So they started responding with special editions that had those aftermarket touches. Now you start seeing that, you know, from Honda, from Toyota, and now from Kia. So it's really cool to see the industry respond to you know, shopper demands. And also, it's not a super expensive thing for the automaker to black out the wheels and the grill and then offer that as a markup.
Right, exactly. Well, anyway, so we're on the hunt again. I sent a note to Kia. I'm like, please. Now I need a kind of a camo dark green and Nightfall edition SX, which is, I guess, I don't know, their sporty, more upline version of it. And so we went over to Hyundai, and Hyundai makes the, what is it? What is the Hyundai equivalent
of this? The Palisade, yeah. Which is sort of its cousin.
It just doesn't have the cool factor. My wife's like, nope. She took a picture of the front, and then we went over to the Kia dealer. She took a picture of the other front. She goes, nope, this one's got it. It's got the it factor. Hang on, George. We'll come back and talk more. I know you got a, what is it? A Nissan Rogue you want to talk about. I actually like Rogue. So we'll see if we can't get her to change her mind. You're listening to The Drive all across America. We're going to come back and talk about the 2021 Nissan Rogue. Stay with us. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information. Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and thanks to our friends at Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. We get to do this show and talk about cars. You can buy Brembo Brakes at buybrembo.com on the web. Talking to George Kennedy III, car tender, car gurus, Boston Globe, and U.S. News and World Report. He's my buddy, and he gets to test drive cars like I do. That's what we do. I know. It's a living. Somebody's got to do it. Imagine that, George. We get to drive cars. People are like, how do you get that job?
Somebody's got to do it. Right?
I know, exactly. I said, God must like you if he gives you this job. That's all I can say. Anyway, all right. So in the quest for SUVs, one of the ones that I actually have been trying to get my wife to take, you know, some notice of is the Nissan Rogue. I happen to like it. Oddly enough, we live on South River Road, and the river we live on is the Rogue River. So I thought, well, why not get a Rogue, right?
Right. You know?
So
I like
she's
that.
Like, no, like no, doesn't have it, doesn't have it. And I'm like, all right, to each his own, to each his own. But tell us about the 2021 Nissan Rogue.
Yeah, sure. So it's completely redesigned, and it's a compact SUV. I know you were talking about the Telluride. That's a midsize.
Right.
But what's interesting, as you've seen with compact SUVs, this is sort of like the segment for many automakers. And so they're putting all of their effort into making these as competitive as possible. So this redesigned Rogue, it's got like 74 cubic feet of cargo space, which is right up there with like a Subaru Outback in terms of cargo space. And what you'll see about the new design is it's a little bit more upright. It's a little bit more sort of a, sort of the way the Telluride's kind of got that trucky feel to it, more of a squared off design. The other difference you'll see is that the front end is very futuristic, very forward thinking, sort of the way the Jeep Cherokee was before its mid-cycle refresh. And, you know, you only get one engine in it, but it's 181 horsepower, four-cylinder engine, and that more than did the job. I'm often lamenting sort of the subcompact, the smaller SUVs always feel underpowered unless you get the high-feature engine. This is the only engine in the lineup, and it does a great job moving it around. And what's interesting is it felt sporty. I mean, it routes power to a CVT, a continuously variable transmission,
right.
Sort of the elastic band style transmission, but it's got manual shift modes and it's got paddle shifters. So it simulates gears and it holds it higher. And you actually end up kind of forgetting it's a CVT when you put it in sport mode, end up using the paddle shifters. They did a really good job dialing in the driving dynamics on this vehicle. So it made it a really enjoyable vehicle, but it was also very useful.
You know, it's funny how these algorithms, I don't even, you know, I mean, the average person, do they realize what they're doing or what they're getting when they get these CVT type transmissions that will also mimic shift points and do things for them that if it was the old days, you either had, you know, a CVT continuously variable, it would kind of be going. It would just, it's like it just goes up to the most efficient point of where it should be to get the best fuel economy or power or whatever you're asking for at that moment. But, you know, nowadays it kind of goes through the gears. It mimics. And it's not really doing that at all. It's just mimicking that for you so that you don't feel like, shift, come on, shift already. These algorithms right. that they put into these transmissions are fantastic.
Well, it, you know, Nissan's been doing CVTs almost as long as anybody in the industry has. Right. I think Audi may have been right up there at the beginning too, and they sort of, you know, did their own thing. But yeah, Nissan's been doing it for a while. They've gotten good at it. And, you know, sometimes you might hear people lament, like, well, why do you need a manual mode for a CVT? I'm like, well, why do you need to change gears on a bicycle? You know, that doesn't have a, you know, a clutch pedal or something. So, you know, I've always said for an automatic, for a CVT, if you have experience driving a manual and know that you would like to manipulate the engine to drive in a performance style as opposed to just optimizing fuel efficiency, then the paddle shifters are there to let you harness the engine the way that you'd like to.
Right.
So the fact that it's a CVT doesn't really matter. It's just another way that you get to be in control of the vehicle.
Well, you know, from what I've heard too, and I this is from what I've heard, these transmissions actually last longer. They're more durable. This continuously variable thing. I don't know why. I've never rebuilt one. I've never seen one open. You know, all I know is the nasty smell of automatic transmission fluid, one of the smells I hate. We'll take a break.
Good old ATF.
Yeah, right? When we come back, we're going to continue talking about this 2021 Nissan Rogue, and then there's a little bit of scuttlebutt from Bring a Trailer, the auction site, and Blazers evidently bringing huge money. I have one, so I want to hear about that, too, from George Kennedy III. You're listening to The Drive all across America. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back with more.
Hey, sister, do you still... Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, it's really hard to find a gift for a man. And I got to tell you, I got one for you. I'm not saying this is just for men, but the good thing is, ladies, that if you want to buy a gift for your man, you get to also enjoy it. The ultimate gift, and I'm only going to tell you this because I got one about 6 years ago. It's a Jura coffee machine. I'm telling you, the most amazing coffee machine on planet Earth. And they have a brand new one out. It's called the Jura ENA 8 Massive Aluminum. It's the world's first automatic coffee machine with a solid 3 millimeter thick aluminum housing. It is a fantastic machine. 10 one-touch specialties that are freshly ground. Not those little capsules. Freshly ground. I love mine. All I can tell you is check it out at Jura, J-U-R-A.com. If you want the ultimate gift, man or woman, it doesn't matter. The nice thing is, it's like a car. You both get to enjoy it. George Kennedy III is joining us. We're talking about the 2021 Nissan Rogue. Me and my wife are on a hunt right now as fresh grandparents. We just had a brand new grandbaby on Thanksgiving Day at 3:22 in the afternoon, my daughter did. And so now it's time to move into something a little more friendly to car seats and dogs and things like that, because my daughter has two little dogs and, you know, we have a dog. And so, I mean, Nissan is really animal friendly. Same with Subaru. Very animal friendly, right? And but you were talking about the Nissan Rogue. Let me ask you now, what is the starting price of these Rogues? Because just like everything, you can add 10 or 15 grand really easy in technology and leather and moonroofs and God knows what. But where do you start with this thing?
Yeah. So it starts at $25,650. Yeah. I drove the SV trim, so that's more a middle of the lineup, and that was $28,740.
Still, that's
great. And that was pretty well equipped. Right? I mean, it came with all of the driver assistance features, all the fun safety stuff that we talk about. So forward collision avoidance, lane departure warning, adaptive cruise control, automatic high beams, all that stuff. It had the 360 parking camera, which I think is great. I love those things. It comes standard with a great infotainment system, which has your Apple CarPlay and Android Auto. And, you know, just a note on that, I've noticed that with certain automakers that, you know, the CarPlay stuff tends to be sort of crammed into their other universe of tech, and so it doesn't present well. They did a great job making sure that CarPlay presented well. Because let's face it, buyers are more loyal to their device, their mobile device, than they are to their car brand. So you want to make sure that CarPlay and Android Auto are presented as good as possible.
Yep. And you know what's funny? If you get in a car these days that doesn't have it, you feel like, oh, poo. It's like not having power windows. I got to roll those windows up, you know?
Or you get into a car where it's not presented well. So I've been in a car recently where it's got one of these crazy portrait-oriented tablets that's like, you know, 10 inches, but it's got like three different zones, and CarPlay is one of the zones. And in order to make that fit, CarPlay is just squished right down so that the icons are very small.
Right.
And it kind of makes it feel like an afterthought. This, they understand how you're going to be using the car, and I think that's the most important part. Are the little things there to show you that they're thinking about how you're using the car in real life?
Well, you know, it's funny. And after just last week buying a new iPhone 12 Max MaxiPad monster, you know, $2,000 for my new phone. It damn well, whatever we get, yeah, of course it is. Better have the CarPlay built in to where when I get in the car actually reaches out, takes the phone out of my pocket, hooks it up and says, thank you, sir, may I have another? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's a lot of technology. Every car is loaded with it, but it's how does the car integrate that technology seamlessly to where it's not obtrusive? It's just an absolute seamless, you know, sort of quote unquote handoff.
Right. Okay, so you're 6'3" or so. How did you fit in it?
I fit in it great. Like I was saying before, it's got sort of an upright, more chunky SUV feel to it. Yeah. And so you sit a little more upright. You have a commanding view of the road. I had plenty of head and leg room. You know, I have my brother and my sister who's 16, but should be getting to be my height one day, and she said she was sitting fine in the back seat. So plenty of rear seat space, plenty of room for all your impending baby gear, you know, the cradle stuff like that, whatever.
You know what?
They did a really good job of packaging it.
Here's what's got to happen is you got to get people in the seat of these things, and that's what I've got to do. Mm-hmm. I've got to just take one home and say, let's go drive it. All right, so you like the vehicle. I'm gonna have to listen. She's so stuck on these looks of this Telluride Nightfall Edition or whatever it is. It's killing me because this is like I could say $15,000 from buying that to buying this. Anyway, it's because I'm cheap. Tell me about Bring a Trailer. What's going on with Blazers? Because I own one.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, if you follow anything in the collector car world, there's sort of the established auction houses like Hemmings or Haggerty or Barrett Jackson. And sort of maybe 10 years ago, Bring a Trailer emerged as this sort of offbeat website where not only was it not like, you know, at the time, GTO Judges were going for $100,000 and, you know, 454 Chevelles were going for stupid money. We're like, not only does somebody my age not really care about that too much, we care about stuff from the 90s, different German, Japanese imports. Bring a Trailer was sort of a haven for that, right?
Yeah.
Well, enough people caught on, and, you know, we were able to get good deals early on, and it has just sort of spiraled into being just like all the other auction places, because a K5 Blazer or a 72 Blazer went for $115,000 on the website, and that just means we've jumped the shark.
Oh, maybe so, but I have a 74 Blazer, full convertible. That makes me very happy,
yeah.
George.
So your eyeballs are opening Looney Tunes style with the dollar sign,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. All right. Bring a Trailer. BAT is what they call it. George Kennedy III, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We'll have to go and pick up a Nissan Rogue and take it for a ride and get her behind the seat, behind the wheel. All right. I'm Alan Taylor. We're going to take another break. Be right back. Stay with us.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Well, as I've been driving my 1989 Chevrolet Suburban, I can tell you that it is low-tech, super low-tech. And but right now, I don't know why I've just been driving it. It's weird. I get up and I go, I have like 10 cars. I can drive. I have hold on, let me just give you an example. I have a 74 Chevy Blazer. Top is off, so not going to drive that because it's getting cold outside and rain some days. Then I have, let's see, the next one up from that is 89, the Suburban I'm driving. I have a 96 Suburban that I've had for years. I am not going to give it away. It's worth nothing. It's a four-wheel drive, three-quarter ton GMC. I have a truck. I have an 88 GMC one-ton crew cab dually, two-wheel drive with a 454. I have a lot of 454. I love big blocks. But I have all these older things that I kind of have to drive and keep alive. I have a 98 GMC loaded four-wheel drive crew cab dually also, and it's also got a big block. I have all these old vehicles. But what I'm learning is as I get out of these new vehicles, I get back in these old ones and it's like there's Yestertech and it's like it's really weird. It's like living in kind of a parallel universe, driving all these new cars with all the new technology. And so today, Brian Moody's here. He's executive editor of Auto Trader, and he has got best new automotive tech for 2021, which in three shakes of a lamb's tail, as my mom from Alabama would say, we're going to be in 2021. Actually, the 2021 models, a lot of them are already out on the showroom and on the car lot floors because I was looking around the other day. But Brian, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I do love driving my old vehicles, but by God.
You're kind of old tech. I mean, let's be honest.
I am. But I got to say that the new technology, it really, really does keep you safe. I mean, really.
Let me say this. Let me just say this right up front. I like technology. But sometimes they put technology in cars just for the sake of technology. Here's the thing that everyone should keep in mind. Technology should make your life easier. If it doesn't make your life easier, it's not worth having.
You're right. You're right. Because I used to, and I'll say this one last time perhaps, but when the iDrive came out for BMW back, I don't know, a decade or so ago or more, I called it the I want to kill myself drive, the I drive. And, you know, because it was so complicated, it made me feel like an idiot. Yeah. And you know, so I try to keep one foot in Yestertech and one foot in new technology. So what do you got today?
So here's what we did for Auto Trader. We come up with a list of the best new automotive tech for 2021. Usually we name specific features, you know, like say wireless Apple CarPlay. That's a great one. We had that on our list last year. But this time we found that there were a few cars that had so many tech features baked in, we just had to include the whole car on the list. So okay. I'll get through as many as I can get through and we'll see where we end up. But first on the list is the 2021 Cadillac Escalade. So many pieces of technology baked into this. For example, there's the OLED display, which stands for LED organic light emitting diode, super sharp, better resolution than a 4K TV. It also incorporates augmented reality navigation. So right there, just that feature alone, you're like, oh, this is really something. On top of that, the Escalade's going to have Super Cruise, Cadillac's hands-free driving. You ever think it's odd that when you ask people, like, what's a self-driving car these days? What car can you drive hands-free? What do they always say? They say the one car that tells you not to take your hands off the wheel.
Right.
Tesla.
Right.
Well, the real hands-free driving is Cadillac, and Nissan's coming out with one too. So that plus the 36-speaker AKG Cadillac Escalade Studio Reference Surround Sound Stereo, I mean, all those things together – You just we had to include the whole car. So the Cadillac Escalade is the technological tour de force. If you're into that, check it out.
I love it. But think about that. Imagine if you or me went to a stereo store and said, you know what? Somebody stole my stereo, which happened, by the way. I have a Mercedes convertible, and I left it unlocked, and it was in a parking shopping center parking lot, and I totally forgot it was there because I was moving cars around, and oh, my gosh. Sure enough, it had an aftermarket stereo gone, and all they had to do was just kind of clip and pull and unplug, and it was, you know. But would you put 36 speakers in anything? No. So I'm amazed at that, right?
Yeah. It's integrated into the car so well that, like, you really can't do – in some cases, if you get an aftermarket system, you can do better. But on these high-end ones, they work with the manufacturer directly, so they place them in these acoustically pleasing places. They have noise-canceling technology, which makes the stereo sound better. It's just such a different world than it used to be. Like, yo, bro, I'm going to get a sweet stereo.
Exactly. You know, and there's a place in my little town here called the Music Shop. And on one side, it's got, you know, musical instruments and what have you. And on the other side, used to be, and kind of still is, but used to be, I'll say, because they're almost ready to go out of business, all the aftermarket stereos. Now, there is a business for that, for the older vehicles, but that's a dying business, though, right?
Yeah.
You know.
Remember all those magazines they used to have?
Oh, yeah.
Now, those have all kind of gone away because it used to be a thing.
Yep.
It's still there, like you said, for trucks and boats and RVs, and some people get used cars and put in. Like, you can get Apple CarPlay or Android Auto or a big touchscreen navigation. You can get that put into your used car.
Yep.
So that's cool. You get modern safety technology and convenience. So that's definitely a thing still, but not like it used to be.
Yeah. I think, and you know, you're talking about, just for a moment, stay on this because we have time. We'll take a break and come back, talk about other vehicles and other technology. But this 2021 Cadillac Escalade, it's got to be, is it 100 grand or getting close to that now?
Yeah, it's getting close. I'm trying to remember what the base price is, as if anybody ever gets that. But the base price is going to be around 80, I think.
Yeah, right.
But when you get it with the stuff that you want, some of the things that we're talking about, let's just call it, you know, amongst friends, let's just call it a $100,000 car.
Right, no question about it, because you can't deny yourself the Black Edition or the Platinum Edition or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Got to be king for a week or a couple of years while you're making payments. We'll take a little break. We're talking with Brian Moody, executive editor, Auto Trader. Best new automotive tech for 2021. He calls Tour de Force the 2021 Cadillac Escalade. We'll be right back.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Well, this is The Drive, our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love, it's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. And their new slogan now for the Outback is, go where love takes you. Subaru Outback. Ryan Moody's here with Auto Trader, talking about the best new automotive tech for 2021. Ryan, thanks for joining us. You always do a great job. What else you got on your list there,
Yeah, bro? Lots of cool tech. So listen, here's another car, just like we were talking. It used to be easier to point out, you know, like one thing, like, oh, the new Sanyo audio system from blah, blah, blah. But now it's so integrated into the car.
Right.
We've just been putting whole cars on the list. So the first one was the Cadillac Escalade, the new Cadillac Escalade. It is just loaded with technology. The next, same thing, 2021 Mercedes-Benz AMG GLE 63. Ooh. And here's what it has in terms of tech. It's so integrated into the car, you really can't separate it, let's just say. So the first thing is it's powered by a twin-turbo V8. That's impressive enough. We love that.
Right.
But it also has this thing called EQ Boost. EQ Boost is basically a starter generator mild hybrid system that powers a 48-volt electrical system, and it gives the engine an extra 21 horsepower or 180-something pound-feet of torque. So that makes it super quick, right off the line, and that's a way of integrating, like you were sort of saying, old tech, new tech. Well, right. Obviously a V8 engine is old tech. Even though it's a Mercedes-Benz and they hand-build it, it's still, you know, that's been around for a while. The new tech is this EQ boost that gives it a mild hybrid system, gets it quick off the line, but then they back the whole thing up with AMG's active ride control, which helps to minimize body control, body roll. It makes it handle better using electromechanical actuators. So these are like anti-roll bars that keep the SUV level or at least sort of flat when cornering, and it uses high-tech features to do that. It's almost like it has to do these things to make up for how quick the car is. So that's another one. Cool. I think that's a great one also.
Well, so it gives it a burst of electric power. Like when you flick the light switch on, yeah, it is bam, it's on. And that's the same. And,
exactly.
And you think to yourself, well, that doesn't seem like much horsepower, but really it's the torque. It's that instant.
Well, yeah, but when the total output is 603.
Yeah, right.
I mean.
Mm. You know, and here's the thing. I'm sure I can't afford it, but what does that little sucker cost? Over 100.
Let's just call that a $100,000 car.
Yeah, at least, right? Go ahead.
And what's the next one you're really going to be impressed with on the price, because it's the 2021 Rolls-Royce Ghost.
Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
Who can afford these? But listen, technological advances always start in those places. $100,000 Tesla, they taught us a lot of things about what kind of car we wanted. But here's what the Ghost has. It is, by the way, the Ghost is their most popular car, by the way.
It's the Ghost with the most? Yeah, exactly.
Yes, it's the Ghost with the most. But here's what it has that's just spectacular. It has this thing called the Flag Bearer system, which uses cameras and sensors to see the road ahead, and it adjusts the suspension so that it virtually has no bumps or unpleasantness. They call it the planar suspension system. It uses a combination of air suspension, sensors, dampers, and then on top of that, you ready for this? The transmission talks to GPS. Well, why would it do that? Because it's preparing the transmission for optimal performance when it sees the curve, hill, or road ahead. That is unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's also $300,000. So.
Yeah, a starting point, right? Oh my God! You know, and it's funny.
You're getting a nice one for $320, Alan. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. You talked about that Cadillac. We don't talk about it that much, but General Motors with their magnetic ride control, which is
that's
also
on there.
Yeah, but that's even old technology at this point. It's been out there for, I don't know, 8-10 years now, and it keeps getting better and better.
It's the best it's ever been.
Yeah.
It's the best. And on the Escalade, here's what I'll say, is that in the past when they've had magnetic ride control, I feel like the results have been mixed. I liked it on the Cadillac DTS back in the day. I feel like the previous Escalade, it was so-so. Today's Escalade, that magnetic ride control finally feels like what you would expect magnetic ride control to feel like. It took them several generations to get it right, but it is, again, technology.
It's fantastic. All right, give me one more.
All right, we'll also go to an individual piece of technology. This is the Hudway, a heads-up display that's aftermarket. So you can add this feature to your used car. Just plug it into the 12-volt outlet. It costs $229, and the Hudway Drive gives you a heads-up display in your 98 Hyundai Elantra, whatever you have, baby.
You're right. Just in case. Well, I would say you went from high tech to low tech, but it's still tech, no matter how you look at it, right?
It's high tech in and of itself.
Yeah.
The Hyundai Elantra might not be high tech, but if you have like an old Yaris and you're like, brother, I got the latest tech in this baby right here. Check it out. That's you can do it. $229.
Oh,
stocking stuffer.
Stocking stuffer. Oh my gosh! I got to tell you. You know, I remember some of the classic cars where they had like a food warmer that you could put in the glove compartment and record player, right, and things like that. And you know, nowadays, you know, I don't know. It's been again 3 or 4 years when I think the Honda Odyssey minivan started having what vacuum cleaners, or was that Chrysler with the Town and Country?
Yeah, Honda started it, but Chrysler has one too.
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you a feature that I think seems like it's from the future, but it's actually from the past.
Okay,
I think, and tell me if you agree, the high beam switch mounted on the floor seems like a thing that they're going to get to eventually, but it's actually from the past.
You mean they're putting it back on the floor? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying when I remember back the high beam switch on the floor, that seems like a thing that you would think of, oh, that's going to be great when we get to that part of the future, but it's already passed.
Yeah, right. Well, and nowadays, you know, they have these auto headlight things, which I have to say, I don't like it either. But I have to say, I used one the other day, and it was pretty darn good. Every time I would reach, because I'm like, oh, here comes somebody. I think this stupid thing is not going to turn off. Sure enough,
it varies.
What was it?
It varies.
It does vary.
Car, you're like, oh, I keep getting flashed because the guy ahead of me thinks I'm flashing him.
Exactly.
And other ones, like you're describing, some of them work perfectly, yeah. But you really got to try it out.
Well, everything is evolving, and some of these technologies take a little time. All right, best new automotive tech for 2021 at autotrader.com. You can find all their great information there. We're going to take another break, come back, and talk about some other fun stuff in this car world that we're in. This is The Drive. Brian Moody's the executive editor, Auto Trader, autotrader.com. We'll be right back. We walk by, we try to see. Falling behind, we want to be. Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
You know, I have a lot of friends in the automotive industry, and very fortunate to have guys like Brian Moody, executive editor of Autotrader.com. As much as anything, I feel like, you know, I feel honored to have these friends, and then they're what did I say? They're low friends in high places, Brian. So just
Well, you're in Oregon. It might be high friends in low places.
There you go. And you're in somewhere outside Roswell, Georgia.
Roswell, Georgia.
Yeah. Well, dude, and that is a beautiful area too. All right.
Yeah,
so you wanted to talk one more bit of tech with this Toyota hydrogen powered Mirai.
Yeah, so I just love the idea. So I've driven a couple of these now. The Toyota Mirai is new for 2021. But here's the thing. People really haven't heard much about hydrogen-powered cars, but we're at the point where they're already being redesigned. So the 2021 Toyota Mirai looks spectacular. It looks like a Lexus luxury sedan. It's basically an electric car. There's also the Hyundai Nexo, which is hydrogen powered, but what it is hydrogen converted to electricity. So there's an electrochemical process that takes place, and that generates electricity, kind of like how adding water to a car battery creates the acid, right? Like it's an electrochemical process that creates. So it's the same kind of thing. You add hydrogen to it. I just love the Toyota Mirai. I think it's great looking. The way it drives is amazing. It's quick, but it's not that, it doesn't have that Tesla endless power kind of thing. But at the same time, it has a 400-mile range. So I don't know. Ooh. I think this is probably going to be a thing that comes up. It's a naturally occurring element. You don't have to plug into the grid because, remember, electric cars that plug into the grid, how clean you're getting your energy depends on where you live. In the Pacific Northwest, places like Oregon, Portland, for example, it's almost all hydro. So you're getting the best of all worlds, driving around in a car that's on renewable, clean energy.
Right.
If you live other places and they're using fossil fuels, well, what's the difference? Why don't you just get a V8 engine and, you know, whatever.
Well,
anyway,
that's the funny thing, by the way. I saw an ad, I don't know, it was an ad, a meme or something, and there was a big generator, and then the generator was sitting there running on diesel. And there was like 5 charging stations for cars, and it said something like "clean fuel?" You know, or whatever.
Why don't you go and get a Hellcat?
Right, exactly. Anyway, all right. So real quickly before we go, best large sedans at Autotrader.com. Best large sedans for 2020.
Topic. Yep. I love big sedans. This is my jam.
Well,
big
give me the top three.
I'll give you the top ones. First, 2020 Toyota Avalon.
Ooh.
Great car, about $36,000, roomy back seat. Number two, the Chevy Impala, about $32,000. They're going to discontinue this. Love the V6 and the Impala. If you get the premium or LTZ, if you're getting a used one, it's like a luxury car, really nice. And they're still making the Chrysler 300. So that's number three, the 2020 Chrysler 300. old tech, but with a 363 horsepower V8. I love the S appearance package, and I'll give you one more, the Kia Cadenza, $38,000 car. Big, substantial, V6 powered car. These kinds of cars, Hyundai Genesis, remember that one? Turned into the Genesis G80 and G90?
Right.
Great cars. I just love those big sedans. Those are the top four, and you can see the rest of them on autotrader.com.
All right. Well, I didn't know that there was an actual term for what a car looks like from the rear end. Evidently, it's called the ass appearance package. Is that what you said? Or was that the S? Oh, the S. Oh, I didn't read it correctly. I'm sorry. Well, I like the rear end of certain cars, too, so I get it. I'm right there.
I think that's a good angle in pictures, too. But some of these cars, I just love, there's a reason why they still make the Charger. People still like those cars.
Yeah, Charger. And what's funny is that you'll see a lot of police that really love those cars. Anyway.
Yeah, they have a couple SRTs in Florida, so don't exactly. think you can outrun them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, what have you been driving lately that just pops up in your mind? What drive that you have been testing that you go, you know what, I really miss that car. Is there anything? Just curious.
Yeah, here's what it is. I'm going to have to go with the Lincoln Navigator.
Oh.
I know, it's a big.
I have to tell you, I'm right there with you. Yeah, that's good stuff.
It's so big. It's so big, but it's so beautiful and so well done. Yeah. And so nicely executed. On the other end of the spectrum, then let me give you this. The Mazda 3 2.5 Turbo.
Wow.
I could see how they're talking about raising their profile to become a premium brand. Before, I thought that's never going to work. But with this Mazda 3 and that 2.5 turbo engine, it's as refined and quick and fun to drive and comfortable as a small BMW. I really, really like that car.
You said something big there. Yeah, Mazda doing a great job on their vehicles, as is Lincoln. And boy,
can't wait to see that engine Miata, by the way.
Yeah, correct. All right. All these stories you can find at autotrader.com. Brian Moody, thank you, sir. Great job.
Yep, thank you.
All right, we'll take a break and have another hour of The Drive. Stay with us.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, it is time now to talk to my friend, BJ Colleen, who is fresh back from New York, back to the sunshine of the Vegas area. Hi, BJ.
Hello, Mr. Allen. Long time no talk.
So, was it cold in New York?
It was cold. It was rainy. It was windy. It was not fun.
Did you do any shopping while you were there?
As a matter of fact, I did a little shopping. Yes, I did. For myself.
Yeah, right. Well, with the holidays coming up, every couple of years, I'll talk about, it's hard to find a gift for people. You know what I mean? It's like, you buy somebody a pair of gloves, a pair of shoes, a jacket, a scarf, something stupid, But you've seen my coffee machine, right? My Jura coffee machine. In my kitchen.
You mean that big, fancy, restaurant-quality double throwdown? Yeah, I've seen it.
So, I did this, I don't know, it's been about 8 or 10 years ago. To me, this is the ultimate holiday gift. And so it's like you would love to give somebody a car, but who's got an extra 50 grand laying around? But if you got, a couple of grand and you want to check something out, you guys should seriously check out the machine that I have because they have a brand new one coming out, which I get to test drive, by the way. The Jura ENA 8 Massive Aluminum Signature Line. This thing's got solid 3 millimeter thick aluminum housing. I have never seen anything with a better quality of build, because about 2 years ago, mine was malfunctioning, and I was like, I'll fix this thing. I'll show these people. I can fix anything. And I tried to take it apart. No way. I couldn't even figure it out. I called them up, and I go, what is this thing? You can't take it apart. They're like, yeah, we know. Send it in. We'll fix it. And the woman, oddly enough, this is the best part about this. The one says, she goes, you know, have you checked to make sure? Did you have oily beans? Because, you know, this thing grinds the beans, and it does everything for you. You can make, you know, cappuccino, espresso, all these different crazy different things. I just like coffee. But, you know, she says, take your hand and do it like a cupping motion and wipe this little screen that's in the back of it and see if that helps. And I go, hold on. So I stuck my hand in there and I wiped it off. She goes, give it a try. I push the button, you know, because it's got like this tin touch specialty screen, you know. It's like worked fine. Thank you, Jura, for making such a high quality thing that not even I, who has every tool known to mankind, could take apart. And you know what? It's like they put it together like some sort of a puzzle that cannot be taken apart once it's put together by the normal human being. Anyway,
But you know what, Alan?
Yeah.
It's an investment, because if you really enjoy coffee, or if you entertain a lot, and yes, it's not the cheapest coffee maker out there, but it's beautifully designed, so it's going to look nice in your kitchen. So it's an investment. It's like spending the money on a decent car. If this is what you're into, it makes sense to get one, because it's an investment. And you're right. It's not a pair of socks that somebody's going to use for a season and get rid of. It's something that you're going to have for a long time. Yeah, so no, it's a smart buy.
It really is. It's a compact one-touch automatic coffee machine. It has advanced technology, small footprint, this newer one that I'm getting. It's got this Jura Smart Connect with Bluetooth communication for this Jura operating system called Joe. It's got an app. Jura's got an app. I mean, this is like, it is. It's like buying a car. But I got to tell you, I get up every morning and I go in there and I push the button and it grinds the coffee. And one time I was on a conference call, and it was one of those stupid early ones, because you were in New York, right? They're 3 hours ahead of me on the West Coast. And I have to do these stupid conference calls every now and then. And I'm getting up, you know, I'm going there, I push the button, it grinds the coffee. And the person on the other end of the phone, there was like eight people, she goes, Alan, is that a Jura? Do you have a Jura machine? Because that sounds exactly like my machine. I was like, yes, I do. She goes, isn't that the best thing? Anyway, I tell you what, it was hilarious. But you can find out more about it, Jura, JURA.com. If you want the ultimate holiday gift that you get to use if you buy it for your husband or wife, you will never regret buying this machine, because I love mine. What were you going to say?
Well, they have espresso machines, coffee makers, grinder. I mean, they've got everything. You know, you can even buy a refurbished one if you can't afford a new one. It's worth going to the website and checking it out and see what's available.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And I swear by this thing, and I don't do that by much. So thanks to Jura. I've loved my machine for about, I don't know, it's been closing in on 10 years, I think. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about cars again. But you know what? Every now and then you find something great. You got to talk about it. I'm Alan Taylor. BJ Colleen and I will be right back. Talk cars, I promise. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And BJ Colleen, my automotive expert friend. Test driving cars is what we do. Cars, trucks, SUVs, and all the rest. BJ, before we get into it, I have to ask you what I've been asking everybody else on the show today. Got a new grandbaby. Time to move into an SUV. My wife is stuck on this Kia Telluride, $50,000. You can buy them for $33,000 with kind of the base model. But I'm just curious if you have any other suggestions, because the way she wants it is fully loaded, which of course, right? When you remodel in your house, you want the best of everything. And when you buy a car, you want all the best stuff. So even though they start out at like $33,000, the Kia Telluride, you're going to spend $50,000 if you get it with all the bells and whistles, which she wants. You drive, aren't you? Are you still driving that Lincoln?
Yes, I've got my Lincoln Corsair, but it's a smaller, it's the compact size. So.
Right. She wants
but,
one,
you know,
up. One up.
Aviator's
that.
A pretty nice one, too, from Lincoln. Aviator's nice. I think the GV80, the new Genesis model, is outstanding, but it's probably a little bit out of your comfort range when it comes to price. So it starts around 65, but if she wants all the bells and whistles, it's gonna go up above 80 or close to 80 anyway. So, but you know, the good thing about that vehicle is it's basically you're getting Mercedes level $100,000, but all the features are in this one for 80. So it's always, you know, Hyundai, Genesis, just good values all the way around. But yeah, then there's the Hyundai Palisade, because that's kind of the sister vehicle to the Telluride.
Right. So. Looked at that. You know what's funny is, and she took a picture of the front of it, and she took a picture of the front of the Telluride, the one that was sold over there, had one at the Kia dealer. It was sold. And she goes, nope. She goes, I like this one. This is what I want. And I'm like, oh, my God, maybe almost 40 years of being with this woman. Maybe I got to buy her this thing. So I sent a note to Kia, and I go, can you help me get one of these? No response. No response.
Because they can't help you. Everybody wants one.
I know. So. I know. It's a sad thing anyway. What are you driving right now? What have you been up to?
Come down here and get it.
So. Yeah, I know. That's what I'm going to have to do. But.
A couple weeks back, I went to Los Angeles. I drove down there, I went to drive a variety of Hyundai vehicles. Hyundai was doing a little event down there. Amazing that they did a live event. And I've got to give kudos to them. They were extremely safe. If you wanted to eat in your room, you could eat in your room, or you could have dinner downstairs. Everybody wore their masks. We drove by ourselves, which is for us unusual. Usually we have a co-pilot who's our navigator. So we drove by ourselves. And luckily it was in L.A., so I knew where I was going, so I wasn't, like, panicking, because some of these turns can get a little crazy because you can't, like, just put it in the map and go that way. So kudos, Hyundai did a very good job of everybody keeping their distance. So, but they showed off the new Sonata and Elantra, but really what they were showing off was a new lineup they call the N line. And if you're familiar with Hyundai vehicles, they have a Veloster N, which is kind of like a motorsports version, kind of like a BMW M series. So Hyundai is going with N for their sport lineup, and I think it's a great choice, and they've got a lot of good vehicles. So they introduced and let us drive the Sonata N line and the Elantra N line. And let me just real briefly talk about what Hyundai's doing with their future. Their goal is to be the industry leader by 2025 in eco and mobility technology. And they've got this overarching plan called MECA. And MECA stands for Mobility, Electrification, Connectivity, and Autonomous Vehicles. And I think that they're actually, from what we've seen so far, that they're well on their way to coming up with some pretty cool technology. So we'll see how that goes. But Hyundai really is a very forward-thinking company. They know what the future is. And I have to give them kudos, because they're going to continue to produce and make fuel cell vehicles where everybody else is just thrown in the towel and just going right to electrics. But I think Hyundai's being really smart about this, because I think fuel cell really is going to be eventually the way that we're going to be doing, powered by hydrogen instead of electricity. It just makes a lot more sense. You know, the byproduct is water. You don't have to try to find out a way to charge in your house. You don't have all the challenges you have with electrified vehicles. So now they're still doing electrified vehicles. Don't get me wrong, but they're still doing fuel cells, and that's good. But the N line basically is their sort of motorsports division. They named it the N after Nanyang, which is a place in Korea, but also the famous Nürburgring circuit in Germany. And you're familiar with the Nürburgring, Alan. Yeah, sure. Have you ever driven on that circuit?
No, I haven't. I one day want to. And although the traveling for the next year or so, I'm sure, is going to be a little weird, but that may be a good time to go. You know?
Yeah, I agree. Well, they kind of based the N on three pillars. And one is they want to make sure that it's a cornering rascal. So when you go around the corners, you really enjoy it. It does it really tightly and very controlled. An everyday sports car, so you're not giving up a comfortable ride. You're just getting a little bonus of having a sportier ride. And racetrack capability. So they've got a couple of levels. They started with the Veloster N, and that one competes in World Rally and Touring Class Championships. For 2021, they've extended that into the Sonata and Elantra. And they have plans for 7 N and N-line performance models through 2022. So I love that they really are covering the gamut. They've got the electrified vehicles, they've got the fuel cell, and they've also got the vehicles with the sporty intention. So it really makes a lot of sense.
A weird year to have to launch cars and vehicles. I feel so disconnected. Hang tight, BJ. Let's take a break. Talk some more cars on the other side. This is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, BJ Colleen. Thanks to our friends at Brembo, the choice of champions, Brembo Brakes. We'll be right back with more. I want your keys up.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And my buddy BJ Killeen talking about Hyundai's inline line of vehicles. And so now we get into the test drive portion of the show. So give us your what is it? Your 20? No, that's where you're at. Give us your opinion.
Your 411. Give us the information.
There you go. So, okay, there you go.
You know what's funny is that this is the seventh generation Elantra. The first one was introduced in 1990, and I'm so old I can remember when it first came out. And it was a nice little vehicle then. It was affordable, just like what Hyundai's doing today, where you get a lot more standard features for your money. So it's pretty cool. But now, because it's the seventh generation, Elantra lineup, you got a sedan, a hybrid, the N-line. And now what's interesting is they have two N's in the lineup. The N-line is kind of their light performance, and then they're going to have just an N. And that's going to focus on some serious performance. And I got to drive an N model for a mile because it was a camouflage vehicle. But there's some things in there, and I'll talk about that in a future show about just the N vehicle. So it's a little confusing, but I think people will figure it out. But
well, it's like BMW. At a certain point, you go, okay, I know what M stands for. And then they come along, you know, after doing a fantastic bang-up job on the M, the performance line for BMW, and they make an M Sport, which is just an appearance package.
So, yeah. You know, but it can be a little confusing. Yeah. But the N line is more than just an appearance. They've really done a nice job changing some of the things on the exterior. You've got a different bumper fascia, front bumper fascia. You got some side sill moldings that are black. You've got a rear fascia with a diffuser. They actually went to 18-inch wheels, or you can get Hankook 18-inch all-season tires or Goodyear Eagle F1 summer tires if you want to, and that's on the manual transmission. So, again, you can see that it's got N-line badging. And on the interior, you've got the N-line sport seats and a gear shifter and all these kind of different things. It's kind of cool because they actually are offering it with a 6-speed manual transmission, which, you know, not too many people are buying, but the fact that this is a sporty car, they want you to drive it. So you can get a 6-speed manual, or you can get a dual clutch automatic transmission, which is also awesome because it shifts really fast. And when I was driving the vehicle, I got to drive the 6-speed manual, and I just loved it. Hyundais in general do a good job between giving you a little bit of sport and a comfortable ride. And this one with the N-line, they really just kicked up the sportiness a little bit. They put a new suspension on it. It's a multi-link independent rear. They've got they changed the steering to make it a little bit tighter. They revised the powertrain mounts. They got larger front brake rotors. They stiffened the suspension. So the ride is a lot more controlled, but it's not to the point that it's way too much. So it's still comfortable. But when you want to go out and really, really spread its wings, you can do that in this vehicle. It has a 1.6-liter turbocharged engine, 201 horsepower, 195 pound-feet of torque, so it's a lot of fun. The clutch is really smooth. That's something that I care a lot about. I mean, if you're going to be fighting
clutch? What's a clutch? Oh, yeah. I remember that. Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
I think think way back in your memory, back when you had three pedals instead of just two on the floor. Remember those days?
Yeah, barely.
Yeah, I know. But the shifter feels good. You get power almost instantly. It's got an 8,000 max red line, so you can really kick the engine, keep it going. I thought the seats were really supportive in it. The steering wheel feels good. It has a very low roll factor. The suspension is stiff.
You know what, BJ?
It quick off the line.
You know what's funny? It's because you talk about the seats. You know, the seats felt good. I got into a Volkswagen Golf yesterday, a late model Volkswagen Golf. And I swear to you, I felt like I sat on a cardboard box. It just was like terrible. It didn't have good support. It felt bad. So, you know, it's easy to say the seats were good because there's so much to talk about in a car today. But sometimes you sit in a car and you just go, oh, my God, this is horrible. The worst of this is typically I feel this when I get in BMWs. I go, oh, my God, these are so stiff. But this is a performance car. So I go, okay, oh yeah, performance car, going to have stiff seats, you know, less mush, not a luxury car. But the seats are so dang important, man, especially you got a big fat wallet like I do. I have to take my wallet out if it's not a comfortable seat. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's not good on your back when you have a fat wallet. I got $9, all $1 bills. But it's just full of pictures of my kids, you know.
It is now. Anyway, but you're right. You know, people think about technology in cars, but you don't think about the little things like the seats. And, you know, some of the luxury end cars now have massaging seats, and they have seats, the perfect position seats and the ergo-motion seats that are designed by chiropractors because they know that people are spending a lot of time in their cars. And we know Volkswagen and Audi and BMW and Mercedes, they're German in orientation. And they must have a lot better backs in Germany because their seats are a lot stiffer.
All right. Now, let me ask you. You really like this thing. I can tell by the way you're talking about it, the Hyundai Elantra inline. What was the price of it?
You'd be surprised. The inline with the manual transmission is $24,100,
wow.
$25,200 for the dual clutch transmission. I don't know where you're going to find something like that. With all these features, wireless charger at that price. I mean, the list goes on and on. Blind spot collision avoidance assistance. It's pretty much everything that you could want in a great vehicle for comfort and for sportiness. It goes on sale in January.
Right on. Hyundai Elantra N. N is Nancy. In line. Thank you, BJ.
Thanks, Alan.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to talk to Carl Brower. He's going to talk about electric cars. And I don't know what's happening to me. I'm starting to consider that might work for around town.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
So, you know, you always have that one friend that you just feel like you're always, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12 years old, right before you were driving, and you were playing like you were driving, even when you were just riding your bicycle. Well, that guy for me is Carl Brower, and he's on the line right now. Automotive industry expert, Forbes Autos contributor. There he is coughing because he's probably got COVID, doesn't want to admit it, and executive analyst at iccars.com. By the way, a couple of things here, first of all, before we get going. Been talking about it on the show today. Of course, you know, my life plays out on the air. My kids hate that. My wife hates that. Since we had a new baby on Thanksgiving, grandbaby, I got to make sure I say that wrong, right? Because my wife is far past the baby-bearing age. Not that far, though, honey. But anyway, a grandbaby. She's driving, and I know, do you still have the little Fiat 500e, the electric car?
That went away in March at the end of my 3-year lease.
Okay. I would have liked to have known that. I probably would have bought it off you for the $3,000 it was worth. But anyway, I know that's a bad, bad thing.
Well, right? No, I would have bought it, but they, of course, take it back, you know, and I'm like, hey, I'll give you market value. And they're like, well, you know, the buyout's $19,000. That's what they had to write it up for to get the stupid low lease rate. It's like, yeah, it's not worth $19,000, right. Guys. So go ahead, take it away.
Exactly. But you were only paying like $49 a month, as I remember, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I paid a total of like $3,000, you know, and that included insurance and everything to own that car for 3 years.
Yeah, beautiful thing. But my wife has a Fiat 500 Abarth, the little hot rod version. And
the cool one, yeah.
Yeah, fun little car, really nice. It still only has 19,000 miles on it. It's a 2015. She doesn't drive that much. It's her little city car. And so here now we have a new grandbaby, which makes three. And you really can't get a car seat in the back of that without, you know, really just major construction. You have to take the roof off and the doors off. Yeah, it's just it's not made for baby seats. So she's like, all right, it's time to buy that Kia Telluride. And I'm like, dude, 50 grand, you know, I mean, come on. And she's like, well, we're going to have to get the really fancy one. I'm like, no, no. But even the one she wants is 50 grand. And you can't even find them because they're selling them so fast. You know, congratulations, yeah. Kia. They built something that everyone wants, right? So I'm trying to show her all these other different things, you know. And just yesterday I showed her another car, and she left her key to her car in the car that we were test driving. And I'm just a debacle, right? The whole thing turns out to be a mess because she feels like I'm forcing all these things on her, and she wants that Kia Telluride. I get it. If they were out there, I would probably have bought her one right now, but she wants a particular color and everything else. So anyway, we're on the hunt for new vehicles. And so I'm actually more interested now, and I listen differently, and because I know that maybe she will listen to what people like you say. What popped up, and we're going to talk about it here in a few minutes, is an electric Audi, an electric Volvo, an electric Hummer. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, here comes these cars, and you know, Carl, you and me, we're not particularly electric car guys, but you owned one. Because, see, they do make sense if you're just going to be using them for one thing, like you commuting back and forth to your office a couple miles away. The same with my wife. She's got 19,000 miles on a five-year-old car, so she doesn't drive that far. Matter of fact, there's nothing to drive to. If we were going to go, we wouldn't take this little itty-bitty car. We'd get in one of the bigger, you know, a truck to go do what people do when they go to Costco and stuff. You don't take the Fiat. So all of a sudden, here's these really nice options. So I want to talk to you about that today. But first, I really want to play something for you because you and me, we have something in common. It is that we are both that 10-year-old kid. And here's a commercial from Dodge, and then we'll talk about it.
Ricky Bobby, get your butt back here.
I want to go fast.
I said burnouts and donuts only.
Cal, you came in hot.
I had mountain dew for breakfast. You think of what I'm thinking, man?
Shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
Yeah, Cal.
Bye, Ricky.
Okay, our lawyers just want you to know that this isn't real.
My stunt driver's a 45-year-old man.
That's my boy. Forget what your smoking hot mom teachers say. Just remember my motto.
Wake up in the morning and piss excellent.
No. Always get a DNA test?
Nah, the other one. If you ain't first,
you're last. Woo-hoo!
Okay, so that is a commercial. It's a takeoff of the movie from 2006, Talladega Nights, and it's called Family Motto, If You Ain't First, You're Last. And it's because they got first place in both J.D. Power Appeal Study for Mass Market Vehicles and J.D. Power Initial Quality Study, which congratulations to them. But you know what? When I watched that movie, I thought, that's me and Carl right there driving. And just so you know, if you haven't seen that commercial, it's two like 10-year-old kids driving a Challenger and a Charger, and their dad's in the family SUV, which is also a hot rod, and they're just tearing around town. That was actually kind of a funny commercial, you know? I mean, if you think about it.
No, it totally gets to, like you're saying, the inner child. Sometimes it becomes the outer child, depending on what we're doing, right, Alan? But it's certainly the inner child that any serious car guy is and has living within them and tries to keep under wraps for the most part, at least under most circumstances. And so, yeah, they knew that Dodge knew how to tap into that. And know, I've been saying the same thing about the new color they just released, but they just started talking about yesterday that they're bringing back their Gold Rush color that they had on their 50th anniversary Challenger last year. Now they're going to make it available on a couple different models this year, the Hellcat and the Hellcat Red Eye and the TA and the RT. And, you know, it's a color that if you describe it to someone, they're going to be like, that doesn't sound very, very good, but it pulls it off. It's this 60s kind of metallic goldish, greenish, goldish color almost. And it works because it looks like a miniature Heist Hot Wheels from the 60s brought to full size. And it's just like that commercial, you know, anything that chases down and wakes up that inner child in us works. It makes people like you and I go, that's cool. That's funny. That's something I want to do. And Dodge, they've got people clearly who understand this and are great at tapping into that.
Well, you know, it's funny. And the dad was driving the Durango, which I'm sure, you know, it had stripes on the hood and what have you. I didn't really notice what package it was. Oh, yeah, it was the high performance package. But they're not concerned what the PC world is saying when it comes to, you know, fuel economy and all that, because these things are high horsepower. They don't care about being PC right now. They care about the fun factor, what's going on. And the fact that they, you know, Dodge is the first domestic brand ever to be ranked number one in initial quality and appeal in the same year with these machines is almost, it's almost funny, you know? It's like, look at that. It's that whole energy of the young, have fun, to heck with it. And in that, by the way, I don't know if you noticed that, that was an AC/DC song, Shot in the Dark. It's the first song released from AC/DC in 6 years. So I'm sure they spent some money on that, no question about it. But it was a fun commercial. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and again, they know that that demographic exists out there. And it doesn't even matter if it's a huge percentage of the population or a relatively small one. If no other brand is catering to that demographic except Dodge, to the level that Dodge caters to them, they own it. Yep. They own that demographic.
No
and personally,
question.
Alan, I think you and I would say probably a little bigger. I think a lot of people are like, yeah, that's like these weird fringe type guys that would be into that. It's like, if you think that they're fringe type guys, that they're these very rare, unique individuals who think and feel that way, go ahead and tell yourself that. I think there might be more of them than you assume. And the fact that Dodge can be number one in these things, you know, those studies, they're just really all they are is an analysis of the love that people have for a brand. For years, Porsche would win those things, and Buick would win. And when Buick would win, a lot of people are like, when the heck is Buick? It's like, because you had a bunch of, just back when they were winning all the time, you had a bunch of elderly Buick owners who were like, I've been in driving Buicks for the last 30 years. They're the greatest cars ever. And they would just, every time there was a range of checks, it was the best, the check that was the farthest to the right that gave it the best thing, they would check them all off. And so Buick would win all these appeal and initial quality things because all the Buick got people wouldn't even consider giving them anything but the top score. Now the Dodge people are doing that.
Hang tight. We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, electric vehicles. These are in the running for the SUV that I may want to buy for my wife. You know, now I got to take her on a test drive in an SUV that's electric. She's going to go, I don't want to drive a golf cart. Well, these are game changers. We'll be right back. It is The Drive.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, talking to my buddy Carl Brower. Oh, I know what. I started telling you, and I got sidetracked on cars. Happens every time. Carl, you guys, works for a company called icecars.com, I-S-E-E, cars.com. And I said to my wife, I said, all right, go find out what this particular car is selling for around the country. Go to icecars.com, poke it in, and you can go out, you know, 50 miles, 100 miles, you know, 500 miles, the whole country, whatever. And so she did that, and she goes, wow, that's neat. this aggregate, I guess, is, I don't know what you call IC cars. They'll find the car you're looking for all around the country from every different site you can look for. And it was nice to see my wife, who normally leaves it on me, but right now she's being really picky. And so I'm kind of making this decision with her, and I keep offering up opportunities for her to drive this or look at that. She's really stuck on this Telluride, but I got to tell you, Carl, there are a lot of opportunities with these electric cars that are coming out. There's some gorgeous machines, and it looks like GM is kind of all in on electric vehicles. And another buddy of mine says, what about, can you get me a Hummer? And I'm like, but what do you know? Let's just talk about GM for a minute, because there's a lot of news with them, with Nikola and the Hummer and electric vehicles. Give me a couple of minutes on that.
Well, we know they're committed to being, you know, highly electrified by 2030, having Cadillac be a pure electric division of the company. And so true with the GMC Hummer that they just introduced will be a pure electric truck / SUV that will pay homage to the original Hummer brand and have all the same styling. So they're all in on the EVs. And there was just a report that certain people from certain groups, political groups, were giving them a hard time because of all the trucks they sell. And of course, Mary, as usual, had a great answer. And it was something along the lines of, yeah, it's all those trucks we're selling that's allowing us the money to invest in an EV future. Right. So if you want us to stop selling trucks, we're not going to be able to start selling EVs when we want to. So they're all in. And of course, they were anxious to try to maybe jumpstart things, move it even quicker. They had gotten very close to and looking like an impending, almost, you know, not merger, but certainly a strong partnership with Nikola, the other EV company out there. And then they decided not to get that close to them because there was a report released that showed that Trevor Milton, the head of Nikola, was maybe playing the Elon role even past the Elon level in terms of making outrageous claims of what they were doing that maybe weren't 100% accurate.
Vaporware. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Lying incredibly and trying to sell vaporware would be the mean way to put it. So, of course, I'm not going to say that. But one way or the other, they decided to pull back somewhat from their original commitment to Nikola. And I think it really reflects, Alan, where we're at right now, right? There is this kind of, I don't want to use the word frantic, but there's certainly a high level of focus and pressure on all these car companies to, you know, get to the next evolution of the car, which a lot of people think is EVs. It'll be interesting to see where we are 10 years from now.
Right.
But a lot of people think the EV is the solution for all this, and all these companies have to position themselves, and they're jockeying to get themselves ready for the EV future. And if they can, you know, it's build versus buy is the big question. Do they do that all on their own, or do they go buy another company that's already supposedly much further down that road so that they can just transition quicker? And I think that was some of the thinking behind the Nikola partnership that became a non-partnership in recent days.
Did I hear you say correctly, Cadillac is going to become an all-EV brand?
That's what General Motors is claiming by 2030.
Oh, by 2030. Okay. Let's see. 2030. Will I be alive? I might be. I don't know how long I'm going to live. I look at my desk and I have 3 radar detectors sitting on my desk right now. 3! I got 2 more at my house. That's 5. I haven't been driving fast lately. We'll take a little break. We're going to come back and talk more about, cars right after this. Steal across the floor.
We pick up the receiver. Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And don't forget our show brought to you in part by Subaru. Love. Let's see. Actually, no, it's now, because it's the Outback, go where love takes you. But it's also love. It's what makes a Subaru a Subaru. I can't give that one up. Thanks to Subaru for sponsoring the show. Talking with Carl Brower, he does a lot of things, but the one that is most intriguing to me right now is this iccars.com. It's frankly brilliant, and I'm glad you're working over there because, you know, there's so many choices, and the problem is you can search them all. You can go to one and save yourself a lot of time, and that's what iccars is, so congratulations on that gig. Carl.
Thank you, sir.
So electric vehicles, I mean, Volvo, Audi with an e-tron and a Jaguar with an I-Pace. And you know, we were talking during the break, everybody, and Carl says, don't forget Mustang Mach-E, which is all electric. And I just saw a test, 3.5 0-60. That's like screaming fast, you know?
Yes, it is.
And it's an electric kind of a sport utility-esque. I don't know. What are they calling the Mach-E Mustang?
I think they're calling it
sport, somewhere between activity,
a compact and mid-sized SUV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That might be a player, actually, because, you know, I mean, what the heck? But, I mean, if you were right now going to spend your money, because I know your kids aren't old enough, or maybe they are, but they're smarter than to have kids when they're that young. But if you just had a grandbaby, what would you be looking for Stacy right now? I mean, would it be a gas? Would it be a hybrid? Would it be an EV? What would you be doing?
You know, I mean, if I had some money to spend, I'm personally a huge fan of the Porsche Macan. I just think that if you're trying to find an SUV that feels as sporty as possible and drives as well as possible, I think the Macan is just brilliant.
Okay,
so I'm a huge fan of that.
That's still up above 50 grand, I believe. You know what I mean? I'm thinking,
what about
in the 30, 35, 40? I mean, let's say between 30 and 40. That's like the range. That's the range I'm shooting for, even though I don't want to spend that much. But, you know, she's wanting something new. She wants to spend, you know, the new car smell money, which you got to get new for that.
Mm-hmm. I think there's an EV out there that I'm really impressed with that you could easily get for that kind of money. And that's the Hyundai Kona EV that just came out like a year ago. And I had enough seat time in one of those to test its like range and its driving dynamics and its overall characteristics and its comfort and its quiet. And it was super impressive. Like I got done with that and I was like, how much are these again? Like I was thinking of buying one and I don't need one because I just thought it was such a fabulously executed car. So I'd be seriously considering one of those. I don't know if that's big enough for you or your wife's concerns, but I think it's pretty roomy inside. And I'll just tell you, if what you pay and what you get, especially as an EV, it's a really good car.
I don't disagree, but I think it might be a skosh too small. She wants something that, you know, the just right size kind of a vehicle. But it's interesting because I wanted to show her a Lincoln Nautilus. And I was like shocked at the price. They're, you know, the Aviator and the Nautilus. I mean, these are up there, man. I mean, you could spend $75,000 for the Aviator, $80,000, and you could spend $100,000 for the Navigator. I mean, yes, they're wonderful. The problem is, you know, what you want and what you really want to spend are two different things. So I think we're probably more in the Hyundai or Kia range. Even the Mach-E.
I know.
The Mach-E sell for?
I get her a Kia Telluride. That's what I
think. They start at $33,000. It's exactly right. The only problem is if you add the sunroof and all the other stuff and the fancy package and the all-wheel drive and all the things you want, you're at $50,000 again.
And you're certainly not going to get a deal on that one, Alan, because they could say, like, well, there's 20 guys in line behind you, so get out of the way.
Well, no, that's what they say. I called them and I go, hey, is there any way? And they're like, ha, ha, you want what? People in hell want ice water, buddy. All right, last question for you here. You talked about the Mach-E, you know, in the commercial break. Do we know what those are even going to sell for yet? I mean, 60, 50,000, depending on how they're, you know, because 0-60 in 3.5 seconds. I would enjoy driving that all electric.
Yeah, $42,895. So you're going to start in the 40s, and I'm sure that version we just saw and heard about doing that kind of acceleration is going to be one of the top ones. It's probably going to be another 10 plus. I'm sure
easily.
That 50 plus.
Easily. That's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, they tempt you. They tempt you with these things. Even the Challenger and Charger, I mean, you can buy those things in the high 20s, but not the way you want to buy them, with the big engines and the fancy. It's like 60, 50
grand.
That's
not what you and I paid for ours.
That's right.
It isn't what we paid for our Challenger.
Thank you, Carl. Good talking to you. Carl Brower, everybody. Find him and his writings both at Forbes Autos. He's a contributor. iccars.com and right here on The Drive. Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to go have some fun with cars now. That's it for the show this week. We will see you next week, same time, same channel, right here on The Drive.
If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck. The Subaru Outback is all new for 2020. It'll take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive plus up to 33 miles per gallon. It'll take you off the beaten path with 8.7 inches of ground clearance plus standard X mode with hill descent control. Welcome to the all-new best Outback ever, the 2020 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for the 2020 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary.